Okay, here we go. Grab my script. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, December 31st, and today we are reading from the Big Book. And we are at page 157, the third paragraph. Starting with hopelessness was written large. And today's readers are Christine J., Eileen M., and Jordan L. The reference number for Thursday, December 30th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 18,325. And the reference number for this morning's meeting, Friday, December 31st, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard meeting, 18,330. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Linda B. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you. This is Linda B. Good morning, everyone, and I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to do this service this morning. Have a great day, everyone. Hello.
Thank you, Thank you, Linda B., for reading. Yes, we're in the middle of doing the 12th tradition. Linda B., thank you for your service. And I will now ask Christina M. to read the 12 traditions. Star 1 to unmute, Christina.
Oh, can you hear me? Sorry about that.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, sorry. Good morning. Thank you, Sherry, for your service. Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, excuse me, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter of Vision for You on page 157, starting with the third paragraph, and I will now ask Jordan L. to begin the reading.
My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. Hopelessness was written large on the man's face as he replied, "Oh, but that's no use. Nothing would fix me. I'm a goner. The last 3 times I got drunk on the way home from here. I'm afraid to go out the door. I can't understand it." For an hour, the two friends told him about their drinking experiences. Over and over, he would say, that's me, I drink like that. and so this guy, he's in the hospital, right? He's in the hospital for, it's like the 8th time in 3 months or something. he's got quite the record here. And he's sitting here listening to the first 2 members of Alcoholics Anonymous. Before Alcoholics Anonymous was a thing, you know, like you figure this is right after Bob got sober. There's no steps, there's no Big Book, there's no fellowship. Like this is just the 3 of them, you know? And he's listening to these 2 strangers tell him about drinking and I guess what strikes me here is that the isolation of our disease, right? Like where it is that we go when we're completely alone and in the food. It's actually helpful in this case, like in this sort of circumstance of coming right out of the gate, because this guy, like, he's got nothing in the world at this point. no one trusts him. He doesn't trust anyone else. And it really does create a circumstance in which he's going to be willing to listen to these two strangers talk about this, you know? And the thing here, two things happen here. AA number three gets an understanding of the true nature of his problem, i.e. the problem being an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind and the combination of those two things in the real alcoholic. And he gets to identify with two other people who were in his situation, drank like him in his situation, as hopeless as he was, and came out of that as a direct result of following this action plan. Inducing a spiritual experience. So it's pretty cool stuff here. It's pretty amazing stuff what it is that's going on. And it's exactly what I needed in order to recover too. And the fact of the matter is if this can work for me, then it can work for anyone. So thanks for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Jordan L., for getting us started this morning. And before I take a lineup of names, I'd like to just add this in here that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on any of Vision for You calls on Wednesday or Thursday, we just ask that you hold off until next week. There's a lot of crackling on the line, so hopefully that'll go away soon. But please give me your names, and I'll start taking a lineup.
This is Elaine from New York. I have shared, but I just want to know page.
We're on page 157, the third paragraph, starting with hopelessness was written large on the man's face. Thank you. Who would like to share this morning? Go ahead and give me your name.
Paragraph 1, 2, 3. Okay. Joe M. from Minnesota.
Dana P.
Penny LC.
Penny LC.
Lee B.
What was your first name, B? It was B initial. What was the first name?
Lee.
Lee. Okay.
Yes.
Dana P.
Yeah, I have Joe M., Dana P., Penny LC, and Lee B. Anyone else want to add your name on this first lineup?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay, why don't we go ahead and start with Joe M. Go ahead, Joe. Star 1 to unmute Joe M.
I was talking away and I didn't realize I was muted. Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Joe M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. The two friends told him about their drinking experiences. Over and over he would say, that's me, I drink like that. This paragraph is so good because what they're saying is that the two friends are sharing, first of all, about their drinking. They're not sharing the solution first. They're sharing the problem first. And that's what I needed when I came in. I needed you to share with me what you did with food. I needed to know that I was in a place of people who knew what it meant to be an overeater, what it meant, the hell of it, the particular ways in which we manifest this addiction in our lives. I remember at some of my early meetings, and I would hear other people talk about stealing food from their babysitting clients and eating off the floor and out of the garbage and, you know, in bathroom stalls. And I thought I was the only one who did that. And it allowed me to let my guard down. And in letting my guard down, I was then able to become open to the actual solution to the problem. Because if I don't believe that you have my same problem, I don't want to hear from you about the solution. You don't have a solution for me. In order for you to have a solution for me, you have to have my problem. So I need that to be established. So when I talk to someone who's new, That's the first thing that I establish with them. Here's some of my eating experiences, and I can tell you some really stark examples of that. Because the first thing I want you to know is that if you're a compulsive overeater, there's a place for you. And I establish that not by telling them what they should do to solve their problem, but by establishing that I have a problem, gives them an opportunity to identify, do they have the same problem or not? And invariably they do, but I have to establish that. It's my responsibility as someone in whom the problem has been solved is to communicate that. To the very first thing that I communicate is, this is the problem I have. And in establishing that, I can then have an open door for the other person, hopefully to let their guard down, and for them to then be open to the solution. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Joe M., for sharing. And Dana P., you're up next.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much, Dana P. here. And thank you, Jordan, for the lead-in and everyone that's been here serving on Team Friday. Just such an honor and a blessing to be here in the paragraph. Yeah, wow. I was thinking about the 12 by 12 in step one. Not a one of us likes to admit defeat. You know, I mean, clearly he's defeated three times, and now he's, I don't understand it. He thinks that the only way that he can maintain sobriety is by being locked up, and I felt the same way. Absolutely, you know, lock me up and throw away the key, pretty defeated. And the amazing thing is that lots of people had lots of ideas about what I should do or could do to make this all better. And, you know, in the anorexia phase, it's like, just eat more. That's hilarious. They didn't understand that I ate probably more than 10 men. I just threw it all up. And so coming into this program, it's so amazing in this paragraph. You know, here's AA number 3, and these two guys that are newly found friends, recovered, come to share their story, not to tell him what to do, but to tell him what they did. And one of the most amazing things that I heard that's so profound to me and continues to be is when I heard somebody say that, and I still hear it on the lines, and every single time I just jump up on the table with my pom-poms, to say I was completely stuffed with food. I was full to brimming over, if you will, but I felt so empty inside. And that was what I could relate to in so many ways. It was completely full, yet completely empty. And that's what the promise is for me. You know, it's like I am now filled up with my higher power. And when I forget about that and I start to think crazy thoughts, because that's the other part I relate to, is depending on what your manifestation is of the disease, because we do have different manifestations. That obsession of the mind is the same. So I drank like Bill. I ate like my fellows, but I thought, and I say I think like them. And right now, I can be thankful for this program, and I don't think as often those crazy thoughts any longer. So thanks so much. I'm going to pass with that. Love to hear more shares this morning.
Thank you, Dana P. And Penny LC, you are up next.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And hopelessness was written on my face. I'll tell you, I didn't think there was a way out. You know, this disease has a great success rate in defeating us, making us feel like there's no solution. And to be able to come to a meeting and to hear that there is a way, or to speak to a fellow one-on-one and to hear what they've done and how it's worked for them, to be able to relate to their experience and identify in, as was mentioned, that's the gift of this program and how it works. You know, one compulsive overeater to another, sharing their reality, speaking their truth. So powerful. And we get to do that for each other. And what a gift that is, to give it and to receive it. And what are we giving and what are we receiving? It's that hope, that miracle of hope that maybe, maybe this could work for me. Maybe this is a solution that could solve my problem. And grateful that my problem also was way beyond my food. That was just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, because I had to understand that I have a spiritual malady. And what I kept trying to fill myself up with food was what I really needed. As it said in by a great quote, that God-shaped hole, you know, that I kept trying to fill with food that only God can fill. So grateful for being part of this solution today. Thank you for all being there, and I pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. And Lee B, you're up next.
Hi, this is Lee B from Delaware. Thank you so much for everybody that is serving on the line today. I just wanted to share that I so relate to this man's hopelessness, even when they came and said, we're giving you a treatment for alcoholism. And he said, you know, there's no hope for me. And I'm just thankful for the gift of desperation that opened my ears. Because before then, I couldn't hear anybody else. All I could do was try to fix myself or work out my situation or figure out how to lose this weight. But now I could hear how I was not unique in my behavior. And I was ready to do whatever it took to fix me, because I said over and over, what is wrong with me and why can't I eat like normal people? And this guy, his history is just like my history. I tried and it didn't work. I tried and felt defeated. And I just kept saying, I'm beaten. I don't know what to do. I'm hopeless. But also, just like this guy, I went to a meeting. Even though he didn't go to a meeting, they came to him. I went to a meeting and I kept saying, that's me. That's me. I could identify with what I heard in the meeting. I could identify with others, and it just gave me hope that I was not terminally unique and that I am not alone. And there's hope for me. I see hope in the eyes of the others in the room. And so even today, I love the reminder of this program giving me the hope and reminding me that, yes, there is hope for me. There's hope for others. And it makes me excited about sharing that as a possibility for anybody new, anybody that comes on the line. There is hope, and you are not alone. You are not by yourself, and we are all in this together, and I just appreciate it so much to be here today sharing this with you. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Libby. And before I take Deborah G., I'd just like to remind everybody where we are so you can grab your big book if you came on late this morning. We are on page 157, and we read the third paragraph. Hopelessness was written large on the man's face, and we read through two paragraphs. So now I will take Deborah G. and then get ready for a new lineup. Go ahead, Deborah G.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you so much for chairing and lead and all the shares that have been shared and everyone that's made this meeting possible. Thank you for 12-stepping me today. And yes, that hopelessness, I can relate to that hopelessness. And when I finally got in touch with that hopelessness and despair, because I kept relapsing and relapsing and relapsing, and I finally got to a place of surrender, at that desperation that was talked about. You know, I was so tired of doing this over and over. I was so tired of the symptoms, you know, the can't think straight, the brain fog, can't sleep, restless, irritable, discontent, easily angered. I was miserable, you know, my head, my thinking was miserable. And I was just trying to use that food to help that miserableness within myself. And I could relate to him. I was feeling like a goner. And then I got honest too. That helped a lot. That helped because I was getting honest with myself that I can't do this. I'm a goner. There's that. I have no power. I can't do this. And it's so true. I didn't realize it, but until I had that awakening to see, yes, I can't do this. And then when I could relate to other people, you know, that they had that same experience, that they had no power. And then when they got honest and were able to get out of that delusional thinking and go through the rest of the steps and stop giving the food the power and giving the power to the power in step two, did I start to develop a partnership with that power to do the rest of the steps. And then I started getting hope. I wanted to share a little bit of hope there. But yes, I can relate. It's so nice to be able to be with like-minded people and these spiritual souls on this journey. And thank you all so much.
Thank you, Deborah G., for sharing this morning. And before I take another lineup, I would just like to remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share?
Christina J.
Nancy M.
Joanne B.
Lauren W.
Robin P.
Jean J.
Nancy L.
Bruce E.
Okay, let me make sure I didn't miss anybody in between. There were a few crossovers, I think. So here's what I have so far. Correct me if I'm wrong. Christina J., Mati M., Robin P., Joanne B., Tina J., I think, Nancy L., Bruce E. Okay. Let's go ahead and start with this lineup then. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Christina J.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington. Recovered for today with God's grace and mercy. I want to say thank you for letting me do service for the month of December. It's been a joy, and I will always continue to offer my name in the future for service. So thank you, and thank you, everyone, for my recovery today. I came in 2014, and the first thing I heard in the meeting that I came on for the first time was the sunlight of the Spirit, that I needed the sunlight of the Spirit, and I thought that's my answer. And I heard the word recovered. I was shocked. I didn't know what that meant, but I just knew it sounded like that people could put the food down and not be driven crazy by it anymore. The cravings would go away. Are you kidding me? The cravings that drove me absolutely insane every day, except if I was on a diet for a couple of weeks, and then they would come back after a couple weeks. You know, and I never felt hopeless per se, because I have this nature that is always searching for the answer. I have eternal hope that I'm going to find the answer. I. So I never really felt like a goner. I never really wanted to take my life, thank God. But I tell you what did bring me to that hopelessness was I couldn't stop relapsing. And the hopelessness between me and the box of donuts, as I was standing there looking at it in July of 2020, standing there looking at it, I was hopeless. I was a victim right in that moment. That donut was pulling and pulling and pulling on me to reach for it and take the bite that would once again take me to hell into another relapse. And I had all the voices in my head at that moment in this meeting. One bite. Don't take one bite. You don't have a choice. The food's going to take you. And I was able to say to myself in that moment, that was a moment of hopelessness, I can't do this anymore. And that's what did it for me finally. And I pray that it does it for me every day. And I've got a daily reprieve based on my spiritual condition. And that's what it takes. And I've heard on this line this morning, we must connect. We must connect with something bigger than ourselves if we're to make it in this thing. It's not just about the food. It's the spiritual walk. And what a beautiful journey to be able to connect with something bigger than ourselves. That one day when we are on our dying bed, we won't be thinking about food. We'll be thinking about going home to that glorious place, wherever that is. I don't know what it is or anything, but it's got to be better than some of the things I go through here on life in Earth. So on Earth here in life. But, yeah, so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And thank you again for everything you guys do. I love you. I'm out.
Thanks so much, Christina J. And Mati M. is up next. Star one to unmute.
May I be heard?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I'm Mati M., compulsive overeater from Tucson, Arizona. Very grateful to be here and grateful to all of you for being here and all of your great shares. And as we were reading this today, I was thinking that one of the gifts and blessings of our program is that there's no hierarchy, that no matter how many years of abstinence and how long we've been here, we can always relate to a newcomer and a newcomer can relate to us, that they don't have to look up and see us as a figure of authority. And the identification, being able to see, to say, yeah, that's me, and wow, this person had the same experiences, is the most powerful thing in the world. And when I first came through these doors, that's what gave me hope, because I was filled of remorse and shame and isolation, that I was the only one that was doing this crazy stuff with food and being completely consumed and obsessed. Being able to go from a place of hopelessness and defeat and feeling completely empty to a place that there is hope and that there is a solution is really, really a miracle. And I was thinking that we're so lucky being in this program. You know, so blessed that we don't have to go through the abyss of this is the new year and now I'm going to start all these New Year's resolutions and the anxiety of falling on, you know, in the cliff from the old year to the new, because we live one day at a time and 24 hours a day. Thank you so much for letting me share, and happy and healthy New Year to all of you.
Thank you, Mati. Robin P's up next.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Palm Beach, Florida, and normally in Costa Rica. And, you know, I just love that that's me, you know, people doing things with food that was unimaginable to me. And then hearing other people did the same thing, and it's just, yay, I'm not alone. I just thought I was so alone. I had so much shame, and, you know, from growing up in child abuse and then with the food, and just hearing, wow, and hearing people's stories and thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm just one of them, you know, and they're just like me, and it was so healing and de-shaming. and that positive vulnerability that I am so grateful to keep practicing, you know, reaching out to my fellows and being grateful to be of service to them as well. And that we're all, you know, nobodies and somebodies. We're all in God's eyes equal, and I'm just one among many. You know, I'm very grateful to be abstinent. I just celebrated my 6th year of abstinence by God's grace, and that's the best blessing. And, you know, we're in transition. My mom wants us to move back to Florida to meet with her, and, you know, we're really praying about it. And I'm not sure where we're going to be living after January 14th, but I know that I'm living with God. And as long as I am in recovery and connected to God and my fellows and working my recovery and living in my steps, God will reveal which country we're meant to live in and where we're supposed to live. And it really feels like a faith walk right now. And I just get to keep practicing staying in this moment. With everything going on here and this very different energy field in the U.S. than in Costa Rica, as you can imagine. And it's very challenging for me to adjust to how fearful it feels here and crazy. And so I just get to keep surrendering and focusing on God and doing my best to tune out all the noise and just keep leaning on God and not on my own understanding. So God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent new year, and sending you all a big hug and lots of love. Thanks so much.
Oh, God bless you, Robin T. And Joanne B. is up next. Go ahead, Joanne.
Thank you. This is Joanne B. in Texas, recovered one day at a time, and I'm so grateful. First of all, for all of you, and as I hear my fellows who I've been listening to since 2017, it has been amazing to listen to their growth, and I feel like I'm with them, walking with them, even though it's a phone meeting. I just love this meeting. You know, this hopelessness, it was written all over my face, too. I remember being beaten down by a Swiss roll. I remember waking up, looking to this box and seeing it almost empty and wondering what happened and what in the world was going on. I didn't know that I had a problem. I had decided a long time ago that I would not diet because it didn't work. I watched others and it didn't work. It just made it worse. So I decided I wasn't going to do that. Though when I look back and I did my worked with a sponsor. Actually, I saw all the things that I had tried that didn't work. So it was kind of interesting to realize that I didn't remember all those things. I remember crying out to a friend in a different program and saying, I woke up this morning thinking, what am I going to do? I don't want to live anymore. God, just let me be finished. And she said, hey, why don't you come visit me? And while I was there, she said, hey, I need to go to a meeting. Would you like to come? And it wasn't with OA, but as they were reading the steps and as they were telling their stories, I was thinking, oh, my God, that's where I am. That's where I am. And I do this with my food. And she had opened a door for me. And later I found out she had seen this alcoholic mind in me. And that was why she knew I had done it with my food. And now today I have this neutrality. It's absolutely beautiful. Yes, I have trouble. And then I remember what I hear in the room by my fellows who say, hey, Joanne, you got to keep yourself spiritually fit. And I do want to say one of the things that came to my mind was a passage in our beloved book that says, no matter how far down the scale we've gone, that we have something we can offer to someone else. And I used to think I don't have anything because my scale wasn't as low as someone else's. And you know what? My higher power brings me people every single day who have gone to my scale. And then I listen to those who've gone farther and I think, you know what? My yet is still there. I've got to keep working these steps. I've got to keep heeding their warnings because I can go to that place as well. And they're saving my life. Thank you. They're saving my life by sharing it with me. And so thank you very much. And with that, I pass.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joanne B. And Tina J. is up next.
Yes, good morning. This is
Oops, we lost you. Star one to unmute.
Hear me now?
Yeah, now we hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Jean. Yeah, I somehow came through as Tina, but it's Jean J in Portland, Oregon. Gratefully recovered for today. And thanks, everyone, for being here and making a meeting. The sentence or the paragraph that screamed out to me was, that's me, that's me. I drink like that. That last sentence there. And 15 years ago when I went into my first OA meeting here in Portland in a CD church basement, great big 30-person meeting, folding chairs. I was so heavy I couldn't cross my legs, and I felt exceedingly uncomfortable and embarrassed in that folding chair. And I looked around, and I saw a whole bunch of other fat people. And I thought, I don't know. Tell me this isn't where I belong. Please tell me, for one thing, the church and my anger and my rage, frustration, just poor thing was, I think at some level, knew I was about to be cornered here. And so I said, please tell me I don't hear my story from these people. And of course I did. And I left infuriated. I didn't speak to anyone after the meeting, and I just took away the message. Who are they to talk? They're so fat still. I saw bulimics say they had had recovery for years, but the large ladies had various ideas about their abstinence. No flour and sugar, but eating three healthy meals or something, or one person's absence was going to their meetings. And all I knew is they were still fat, and it didn't look like what I was looking for. And that began, however, honestly, the seed was planted. It was impossible for me to look back. And 15 long years later, here I am. I've tried every type of OA out there, and fought kicking and screaming, and higher power has graciously given me various bottoms, and some worked for a little while here and there, but nothing for very long. I just am a low bottom gutter addict, and I did not want to give up my drugs. I was terrified. Eventually, of course, since I branded myself as recovered, why I did get a real doozy of a bottom, courtesy to higher power.
Time.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry I went over. All right, I'll just wind right up there. Glad to be here this morning, and do I just pass? Is that what I do?
Yeah, you can pass and wrap up. Thank you.
Okay, sure enough.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, Jean, for sharing this morning. And Nancy L. is next.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, we hear you.
I'm Nancy L. I live in LaGrange, Georgia. And reading this, I came in a little late, and I read the paragraph that was read at the beginning, and it just brought a memory back to my mind when Mitzi said he got drunk before he even got home. I recall one of my sprees that I didn't even get out of the parking lot before I got drunk. I had lied to myself that day and told myself that I was going in the grocery store to buy something for guests that were going to be in my home that day. And that was such a big lie, because I took that alcoholic food, because it was like alcohol to me. I got in my car and opened that package, and I never left that parking lot until that package was empty. So, yeah, I understand. He said he got drunk on the way home. I sit there high as a kite on sugar, where I had lied to myself. But that wasn't my bottom. I still could not surrender. So I had to even get worse than that before I cried out to God, please help me, or I'm going to kill myself with food and I can't do anything about it. So I'm right there. That's me too, me too. But now today, thanks be to all my fellows in OA, and thanks for Vision. And I have some abstinence. And I had two visits with two doctors that said, your weight's good, your BMI's good, you're right where you need to be, keep doing what you're doing. And I just said, thank you. Thank you to OA. Thank you to Vision. Thank you for all the fellas, because otherwise I wasn't going to end up that way. So I'm grateful today. I'm grateful for everybody that's on this phone this morning. And Happy New Year to all my fellas. And I pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Nancy. Happy New Year to you. And Bruce E., we have time for a two-minute share. Go ahead, Bruce E. You can be our last share.
Well, yeah, thank you. It's Bruce E. I'm in Florida. I'm recovered. And by the grace of God and people in this program. And so it says here, hopelessness was written large on the man's face as he replied, but that's no use, because they had told him that they had a treatment for this, and he said, no, that's no use. You know, that's what I would have thought, yeah, or I did think before I got in the program. And then after they talked for an hour, it only took an hour, and then over and over, it'd say, that's me, that's me. I drink like that. Yeah, well, I first got in the program and many years ago, and that's exactly the way I was thinking when I heard people talking and saying, yeah, well, I'd say, that's me, that's me. I identified, because people were talking about how they ate, and that was how I ate, you know, could stop eating, ate all these alcoholic foods, and couldn't stop doing that. That was me. And I am very grateful for this call and this program, that I don't have to live like that anymore. It's not that the temptation is gone. It isn't. But I'm still a food addict, but I am recovered. And, man, I appreciate you guys in this program and God. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, perfect timing. Thanks so much, Bruce, for being our last share today. And I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year. And I want to thank everyone for your service on Team Friday. And thank you so much for letting me be of service this month. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Melanie C. please read A Vision for You?
Hi, good morning. Thanks. Excuse me just one moment while I try to find my Bluetooth. It just fell. A book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.